We're continuing our journey through Matthew's Gospel, and we've reached chapter 9. I'm going to be reading from verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Just a few, 8 verses or so. And we're going to look at the verses and try and look at them with some detail this morning. Firstly, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. I think it's fascinating when you look at Jesus preaching. When he visited towns, he didn't only visit some of the wealthy areas, but also the poor ones as well. And rich or poor, all are important to Jesus. Wherever he went, he preached and healed. Not just a bit of healing, but as the Bible says, every disease and sickness. He taught in their synagogues to bear testimony to the regular assemblies that met there. And there he took the opportunity and preached. If we're discouraged in our outreach, in our church activities, I believe God's telling us we need to pray more and complain less. It's not what do I want, but what does God want? Are we being obedient to his calling? Remember the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Here I am, Lord, send me." That is how he responded to God's call. There's a challenge to us today, is that our response to the words of Jesus. "Here I am, Lord, send me." Are we willing to be used by God in outreach, in our regular Sunday services? There's so much to do, and I believe the time is short. We are called to be followers of Jesus. To do that, I think perhaps we need to remind ourselves of the sort of three activities of his when he was here on earth. Firstly, he was a herald, Jesus the herald. And he's the one who brings good news from the king. He preaches certainties, not maybes. Evangelistic preaching, I believe today, must always be about the proclamation of certainties. There are many who will stand up and talk about things they don't understand or things they don't know. But as to ask the question, what is their relationship then with the Lord Jesus if they know nothing? Let's face it, they're not bringing good news about the love of God. Our commission is to spread good news. A wise man wrote this, and it's, I think it's so true for today. "Today we're standing at the crossroads, but the signs have fallen down." I think that's so true. The gospel is being mocked and not proclaimed in so many areas. And we live in an age of uncertainties, where nobody seems to be sure about anything. And the standards, if you look at everyday life, anything goes, everything goes. And you get the gospel preachers say, all roads lead to God. We're all safe. We're all going to heaven. It's not what the Bible says. Today, sadly, we see that all the Christian guidelines of life seem to be being rubbed out, eliminated. And being a Christian, I think it's difficult being a Christian today. Our faith is being slowly strangled, I think, in the world in which we live, by successive governments, by the media, in schools. And just here in this country, now all around the world, we see Christians being persecuted and in many places killed. And I think today as Christians, we need a new determination, a new spirit-filled boldness, such as were given to Peter, to stand up and to tell people about Jesus. Christians who are born again can stand as Paul and say, "I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. I know who I have believed in." I pray that all of you here this morning know for certain in whom you put your faith, in whom you put your trust. The first letter of John pushes this point home time and time again, the importance of knowing God, knowing his forgiveness, not doubting it, knowing it, knowing his love for you as an individual, again, not doubting it, but knowing it in your heart, knowing who you are in Christ, that you are a joint heir with Christ. Well, we need to get hold of that. You and I are joint heirs with Christ in our faith. Knowing Jesus, not knowing about him, but knowing him in our hearts, in our prayers, in our life. To know just how precious and special each one is to God. And if we do know God's forgiveness, if we do know and receive his love, then surely we will want to tell others about him. If you know what God has done for you, how can you not tell others about him? Your neighbours, your family, your friends. You and I, particularly at Christmas, I think, are called to be heralds for Jesus, heralds for the kingdom of God. Secondly, we see Jesus being the teacher. It's not just about proclaiming the Christian message. It's important to show that that's actually reflected in the lives in which we live, that we do actually practice what we preach. Our quality of life, our standards of living, our behavior to others. It's not a huge witness to Jesus if we just come to church on a Sunday. We're called to be 7 days a week Christians, I believe. That we can show and teach others how they should be leading and just living a Christian life. And teaching is not just for Jesus, we're called to follow him. We may need to involve ourselves to teaching young people, the youngsters we have in the church. Perhaps looking after a creche so that parents who are not quite sure where they are can hear the gospel preached so that they can enter into a time of worship rather than just sitting outside with their children. There's so much to do and there's so many opportunities for you and I to be involved in. Debates and long discussions are fine, they're okay. But how much better to affirm our faith by showing people that a Christian is different. Sadly, today, so many Christians are seen as just like everybody else. In other words, not being different. You and I, we're called to be different. We're called to be sons and daughters of the living God. We're called to reflect Jesus. There's a challenge. We are called to reflect Jesus. What will persuade folk to come to faith is seeing, I think, how we live, as much as what we say, that our daily lives shall reflect the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't just talk about standards, he lived them. He holds a plumb line, I believe, for you and for I. We're called to follow him. And every Christian, in one sense, I think, needs to be a teacher, one who can teach and tell others about Jesus, not just by words, but by the standards of life, by our actions, by the way we respond to one another. Thirdly, we see Jesus being the healer. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Jesus didn't just talk about healing, he healed people. He didn't say it'd be nice if God could heal you. He commanded healing. Commanded healing for the person, whatever it was, affliction, whatever needed to be done. And he surely must be our example. Jesus wasn't just about words. He translated his words into actions, into deeds. It's interesting, you know, if you look at the quantity of writing in the Gospels particularly, you'll see that Jesus spent far more time healing the sick and comforting the sorrow than he did talking about God. Perhaps we should learn something from that. He spent more time healing the sick and comforting the sorrow than he did talking about God. He turned Christian words into deeds of Christian love. James in his epistle writes, following up this, faith without works cannot be called faith. It's quite a statement, isn't it, from James' letter? Faith without works cannot be called faith. Verbal faith is not enough. Mental faith is insufficient. Faith must be at work. Faith must be visible. Faith endures trials. And a strong faith will face trials and develop endurance. And faith does understand temptation, and faith obeys the word of God. Faith produces doers. Our faith is demonstrated by our obedience to the gospel. Faith also controls our tongues. Consider this, though, the times of Jesus. The Jewish priests would say that religious faith speaks of sacrifice. The scribe would say it involves keeping the law. What does Jesus say? Jesus says it's about godly love. Contrast that with the other two. Not sloppy, mushy love, but agape love. Which one do we want to follow? Sacrifice, keeping the law, or showing God's love? Jesus is our Saviour, our Deliverer, our King, our Redeemer, our Prophet, and our Priest. He's also the Herald, the Teacher, and the Healer, the Son of the Living God. Verse 36, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because we're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Something else we can see from the Gospels, Jesus was moved with compassion almost wherever he went. He was moved with compassion when he saw the world's pain. He was moved with compassion by those who are sick and ill. He was moved with compassion by the world's sorrow, its hunger, and its loneliness. We need to understand this in our walk, I think. And prayer is vital, but it's not enough just on its own. That's just we need prayer and works. We need to be living the life, not just talking about it. Again, from James' Gospel, if you see a brother or sister naked and destitute, you say, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give the things that are needed, what does that profit? I'm sure it makes them feel even worse. We've experienced something like this morning with the appeal for the folk in the Philippines. It's no good just saying we'll pray for them and send them some heavenly thoughts. They actually do need practical aid as well. And as Christians, we need to be involved in that also. It's good to pray, it's wonderful to pray, but we do need to turn that prayer also, I believe, into action. It's like the parable Jesus told about the Good Samaritan. The priest walked by on the other side. How did that help? We need to make sure we don't follow in those same sort of footsteps. And Jesus was moved, I think, by people's bewilderment. The Jewish leaders were confusing folk with subtle arguments. A multitude of rabbinic laws, I think it's about 1,400 of them, that no one could actually keep. I believe it's Christ's calling. We should all be missionaries or heralds, whatever word you want to use. Reapers. Some translations say helpers and healers. We need to be involved in the ministry of Christ here on earth. It's wonderful to be able to come together and to worship the Lord. It's wonderful to have that freedom to pray every day to a living God. But I think God also wants us to turn that into actions. Not just to talk about his gospel, but to live it and to share it in our lives. Those verses you just heard, what do we see? We see people longing for God. I think every day as we walk up and down Battle High Street, you can see folk, I think, who look lost in their lives, not sure what's happening to them. I believe there is a God slot in their lives, but they don't know that they need God, and they won't if nobody tells them. They will never know if you and I don't speak. Notice this, the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests, the Sadducees, all the pillars of Orthodox religion of the day, all of them had nothing to offer the people of Jerusalem. Not one of them offered them the love of God. They had neither guidance nor comfort nor strength to give. And again, that challenges us. What do we offer when we speak to people about Jesus? It's somewhat reminiscent, I think, of Ezekiel's words where God condemned the shepherds, church leaders of the day, for leading people astray. We need to be those who walk a straight line with Jesus in our daily lives. We see that the people of Jerusalem are being offered scribal rabbinic law, a religion which was a handicap, a great burden for them to carry instead of support. And Christianity, I believe, is about lifting people up, not weighing them down with heavy burdens. And I'm sure Jesus had this in mind in Matthew 11:26. He said this, "Come to me, all who are labored and heavy laden." I'm sure that's what he was talking about. The people that were being, they were loaded down with heavy weights on the rabbinic laws which they couldn't keep. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Verse 37. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The Pharisees saw the common people, I think, as chaff, ready to be consumed and burnt up. But Jesus saw them as a harvest to be loved, saved, brought into the kingdom. And you and I today, we are surrounded by a harvest. Will we respond to Jesus' words? The proud Pharisees, in their pride, do you remember the word, "Thank God I'm not like other men," your Pharisees standing on the street corner. They were for the big burdening and destruction of sinners. Jesus in love died for the sinners. Jesus in love died for the sinners. God wants his creation to turn back to him, to choose to flee from the fleeting temptations of the world. But as Jesus prayed, and I think this is such a sad word, the harvest will never be fully reaped unless more reapers are sent into it. It's one of the great Christian truths, one of the supreme challenges, I think, for you and I as Christians, challenge that we have to face. But what are we going to do about it? What are you and I going to do about that? There's millions of people in the world who need to hear the gospel of Jesus. We think and praise overseas missionary work, and that's biblical, it's great, and it's proper. But I urge you, do not think that releases us to pray for missionary work here in this town. We need to be involved in the Christian activity here. Do not neglect the country which sends out the missionaries. Prayer is great, but it's not enough. As Jesus said, pray for more reapers to go out into the harvest. Here in Battle, we need many heralds of the gospel. That may be involved in speaking to people. It may be involved in knocking on doors. It may be involved in pushing cards through doors. But we also need reapers, those who will gather others in the love of Christ, to teach, to heal, to bring new people into the kingdom. And I believe it's the vision of Christ that all of us should be involved in being heralds and missionaries, whatever word you want to use, here in Battle. And how much here God's word is needed. You can always feel the darkness here sometimes when you go through battle. Feel the darkness. There are some candles burning, great. But we're called to be lights of the world. Not a flickering, but a light to bring truth and love into a sad and broken world. Every one of us, I think, is called to be a reaper, to gather in new believers. Chapter 10. Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And I've read the names of the apostles to you already. What do these verses say to you, though? I find that so challenging. He gave men his authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. We need to really think about this too, I think, to be involved in the spiritual warfare that's going on. And when we are conscious of impure spirits, we're not just to sit back and accept them. That's not God's plan. Some churches we see the Jezebel spirit. Looks okay on the outside, but undermining the work of God on the inside. And today, we certainly need the gift of discernment. We need to be spiritually alert, quick to pray, quick to act, quick to respond, quick to share the name of Jesus. And you may have noticed that the 12 apostles were named in pairs. Do you notice that? Simon, Andrew, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew and so on, in twos. And I believe that also confirms what I think most of us believe, that when we go out to meet with people, to knock on doors, we go in pairs. When we're praying for folk, it's good if they're pairs. And I think we need to remind ourselves, the Bible tells us that where two or three on earth agree on anything, God will grant that request. I pray that as we approach the season of Christmas, that we don't get complacent. So easy for Christians to get sucked in by consumerism and the whole feel of Christmas and lose the calling that God has given us to share the word of God, to show the love of Christ, to be heralds here in this place. So easy to follow our own agenda. We need continually to be asking God, what is your plan? It's his church, not ours. When we think of being a herald or someone who helps youngsters and teaches them and tells them, what is your response? We are all part of the body of Christ. To be the body, for it to work, we need everything working together in unity. And that's a challenge, I think, for us as a church today. We go forward from here in unity, in power, in the love of Christ, to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.